His reading will be in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, Matthew 16. Be reading there in just a moment. Tonight, the Lord willing, I'm going to pick back up on the Great Commission, and we're going to be talking about some mentorship. We're going to be talking about something a little bit different this morning. First of all, we need to take a little test. It's about the story of the three little pigs. We got to know some stuff here. Serious test. What did the first little pig build his house out of? You know, that's what I've been told all of my life. But we've been lied to. It's not right. Thank you. What did the second pig build his house out of? You've been lied to just like I have. Do you know the names of the pigs? The story handed down to me by my mom and dad. No names are mentioned. Now, why do I know we've been lied to? Because my dad bought the estate of a retired school teacher. Used to be my wife's teacher when she was a little girl. Do you know what? Up in that attic of that school teacher's house, there were several books, and there was one had a bunch of fairy tales in it, published in the 1800s. The three pigs were named Whitey, Brownie, and Blackie. That had never been passed down to me. I never heard that. Somehow that faded out. And about this straw and stick business, wrong. That book said, published in the 1800s, that the first little pig built its house out of cabbage because it loved cabbage. So he built it out of cabbage. But guess what? The sun, the wind, the heat dried the cabbage till Mr. Wolf didn't have any trouble blowing it down. And then Brownie, he loved rolling the mud. So he wanted to build a mud house. But the wind, the sun, and the heat dried it out till it became a powderhouse. And the wolf blowed it away. The only part of the story is the third one. Blackie was the third pig's name. And he built it out of brick. The story was so unlike what had been handed down to me. Now that's from the world of fairy tales. I couldn't care less. Whether it was pigs, donkeys, goats, rhinoceroses. I don't care what their names was. But it's something that greatly concerns me. That we're being robbed of. One, because of so many versions, and in some cases, perversions of the Bible, we're not really knowing who Jesus is or how to build our lives through him. Secondly, in many churches and pulpits, we don't hear much about Jesus, and we don't hear much about how to really give our lives to him. I want to talk to you this morning about discovering your life's purpose. It's going to be good for the old, going to be good for all of us, but I want to especially target younger people this morning. Discovering your life's purpose. I want to read from Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 13. Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Notice how he addressed him. Simon Barjona. Barjona means that he's simply the son of Simon. But Jesus calls him Simon. "For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." Look at this. Jesus now is calling him by some other name. "I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever that thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the word. Discovering your life's purpose. This is the first announcement that Jesus ever made about building a church. He had been in ministry for about 3 years, but now he's going to get down to business and tell about building the church. And the recipe to build this church is in these scriptures that I've read. First of all, in verse 13, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, so on and so forth." He said, "Really, I'm not interested in secondhand opinions. I want to know, who do you think that I am?" And let me tell you what, about granddad's concepts, grandpa's parents' concepts of God, you receive those, take those, that's good. But that's not good enough when it comes between you and Jesus for yourself. You got to know him yourself. That's what Jesus is wanting here. So not secondhand opinions. Finally, Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And in verse 16, Simon said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus, look at this very carefully. In verse 17, Jesus said, "Simon, the reason you know I am the Son of God is because you've had a revelation from heaven. God has revealed to you that I am the Messiah. But Simon, I want to give another revelation to you right now. Since you know who I am, I'm the Son of God. I want to reveal who you are." Look at verse 18. "That I say also unto thee." Now, you know who I am. I'm Jesus. But let's try to figure out who you are. What are you supposed to be doing in life? What is your purpose? Oh, Simon could have said, "I'm Simon the fisherman." And he was. He was part owner of a company. He was married. He had a mother-in-law. And perhaps had kids. Here's this guy is all set up. But then he said, "I've got it all figured out. Got my home over Capernaum. Got me a little house there. And I'm all set up for life." Jesus said, "No. I'm here today," he said, "to reveal to you what you were created to do. I want to reveal to you your life purpose. I want to say to you that your name is not Simon." Not from heaven's point of view, but it is Peter. What's the difference? Simon means hearing or hearkening. In other words, you are taking orders. You are a follower. But Peter means a rock-solid leader. God is saying, "Simon, we're going to change you from what you think you are to what God wants to make you to be. And you're not to be a fisherman of fish. You are to be a fisherman of men. You are to be a preacher of the gospel. And you are not to sail the Sea of Galilee and cast the nets just for fishes. You are to travel abroad and you are to cast the net of the teachings of Christ and pull in lost souls into the kingdom." So it was at this moment that Simon had a revelation that he found out his purpose in life. Young people, do you really know your purpose in life? Do you know? You know, us old people, we were once young. We get older. I'm old. Older. I'm not as old as some. But I remember back when I was young, I had all these ambitions. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be a highway patrolman. I wanted to be a drag racer. I wanted to be a number of things. I'd even considered playing fat man in the circus, because I figured that'd be an easy job. I'd considered a number of things, all right? But I was in search, trying to find out my purpose in life. And do you know the sad thing is that most people go through life and they never really find out why they were created and what they are designed to do. I believe that there is a hunger in your hearts or you wouldn't be here. I believe that you want your life to count. I don't believe that you want your life to be wasted, young people, but that you want to fulfill God's purpose for you. But to do that, you've got to find out what that purpose is. Now, there's some people are going to tell you, and the philosophies is, that you are a product of evolution. That you're the results of the Big Bang Theory. Man, that is so stupid to me. I've come in, you've got these beautiful pews since I was here. And if I were to ask you, where did you get these pews? And some nut tells me, we were driving down the road here, down in southern Illinois, and we heard this huge explosion over here in the hardwood forest. And when the smoke cleared, these pews were there. You're not going to convince me that. You ask me, where did you get those size 15 wide leather shoes you have on? Well, there was a cow exploded the other day. And when all that cleared out just happened to be the right size shoes for me. There is no way in the world that there's any idiot, even the atheists and the agnostics, even the evolutionists, are going to believe that this building is a result of an explosion. Anything. But they want us to believe that the earth and the universe is a result of a Big Bang. And finally, we were once goo, and we moved into the zoo to you. That we are evolution, products of evolution. Nonsense. God created us. Now, there's about 6.5 billion people in the world. Do you think that God is surprised there are so many people on earth now? Do you think that God sits up in heaven and scratching his head and looking down at over 6 billion people and punches Gabriel in the ribs and said, hey, Gabe, you know, I never dreamed there'd ever be so many people living on earth when I created Adam and Eve. Now, I'm going to have to think up something for them to do, or else they're not going to think and I'm going to be God. I want to tell you something. You are not an afterthought of God. You did not take God by surprise. Did you know before the foundation of the world, before God created Adam and Eve, that every human life, every person has been pre-planned or foreknown by God? You're not an afterthought. You're not a product of evolution. Ephesians chapter 1 plainly tells us this, that we are predestined, not to heaven or hell, don't misunderstand me, but we are foreordained for a divine purpose in God. A divine purpose. And the devil wants to deter us from that and turn us aside to mess up your life here and cause you to miss heaven and wind up in an eternal hell, lost forever. But you need to understand that you have a purpose. Now you're going to ask me, but Brother Hampton, what about illegitimate children? Illegitimate children don't take God by surprise. God didn't plan them to be born. That is, he didn't plan sin. But he knew what would happen. No illegitimate child has taken God by surprise. Can God use illegitimate children? You better believe it. I read about Jephthah, who was an illegitimate child. But you know what? Jephthah wound up in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the Hall of Fame people. Solomon was born out of an illegitimate marriage and relationship. But he became the king of Israel and ruled when Israel was at its greatest height. I don't care. There's a young lady that just graduated from school where I used to teach last year at OBI this spring. But Cassie does not even know who her daddy is. Her mama has been with dozens of men. Dozens. Cassie doesn't even know who her dad is. She has a sister who is a homosexual. Cassie's mom is far from God, on drugs, such an immoral lifestyle. But Cassie has a purpose in her life. Cassie has discovered that. She's felt about 4 years ago that God is calling her to be a missionary in Ethiopia. She just graduated 4 years from Bible school. Now, there is you. I don't care your background. God has a purpose for you. But you now say, wait a minute, Brother Hampton. What about clones? What if there were to be clones? So what? If they develop that technology and there is a clone, that's no different than a twin. A clone would have a soul and a spirit. That's not taking God by surprise. You hear me out. God has a purpose for every person. I don't care how you arrive in this world. Then we must ask the question, if God has a purpose for us, then why are people born with mental and physical handicaps and things like that? The Bible said in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, when Moses was mouthing around to God and said, I can't do it. God said, who has made the seeing eye and the blind? Who has made the deaf and the dumb? God said, I have. For some purpose, God allows people to be born or to incur in life mental problems, disabilities, physical deformities, blindness, deafness, because he has a purpose. Now, what is that purpose? That purpose is varied because God is God. But we do know in John chapter 5 that there was a man that was born blind, and Jesus said it was for the glory of God. Now, in that case, healing came. But in some cases, healing may never come. We know about the famous songwriter who was blind right after she was born. And she wrote all of those songs, but she died blind. There was a purpose in her life. Now, I don't know about how God does it all. I don't understand his plans. But it's not for us to try to figure God out. It is for us to discover our purpose in him and say, Lord, I will submit. That's what I want. I want to give my life to you. Now, I was saved at age 16 in the month of January. I was a sophomore in high school. And then while I was in carpentry class one day on March the 12th in 1967, I was up there and I was working with the carpentry crew, the boys. We were out there in carpentry class working on our house. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me. And I just stopped what I was doing. I was working on preparing the foundation for a carport. And I just stopped and I looked toward the east. And I saw a vision of myself standing behind a pulpit. And I was weeping. And I had my arms outstretched. And I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God called me that day in a vision to be a preacher. I understood at that moment what my purpose in life was. It was not to be those other things I dreamed. I had one purpose in life. That's what I was born and created for, is to carry the gospel. Now, not everybody is going to be preachers. The majority won't. The majority of people will be people who have ministry in the church, do other things. We need people who own filling stations or work in them because we need gas to go where we're going. We need pilots to fly. I do a lot of some trips overseas. I was there in February and back in Africa. We need people to raise chickens so us preachers can eat. You know, we need a lot of things. So your purpose in life is not just to be a preacher. Don't misunderstand. It may be God's will for you to be, but God has a purpose, and you're going to miss it out on life if you don't discover that purpose. Now, how do you discover that purpose? The secret of your life is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ, 100% in him. We got a precious little baby back here. Tell me again, how old is the baby? 2 months. Don't want to alarm you, but good illustration here. What's his name? Noah. Let's suppose that tonight, and please don't be paranoid, okay, that that little Noah was kidnapped and was taken to China. 20 years pass. Noah has been raised by Chinese people, a Chinese couple. 20 years have gone by. What language is Noah going to speak? What food is he going to like? What dress is he going to be dressed in? Chinese. What culture is he going to be cultured in? Yes. And in every way except some pigmentation, and maybe he may even want to do surgery and redo his eyes today. But in every way, he is going to be groomed and cultured as a Chinese. 20 years have gone by, and mom and dad have searched through the years frantically trying to find this child. But somehow, they wind up in China after 20 years, and they see him. And they say, hey, that's got to be him. I see some of my features in him, Dad says. Mom said some of mine. There's those eyes. I remember those eyes, Mom says. I remember all of that. So they walk up and they say, hello, Noah. He said, no comprendo. No. Right. That's more like Spanish. They're not going to be able to communicate with him except through an interpreter. And they say, look, we carried some stuff here from America. You want a snack? He tasted it. I don't like it. Do you know what? When they first meet him, those parents are going to be total strangers to him. He's going to reject them. He don't even want to be around them. He doesn't know them. It may take a while for them to be able to try to convince him and tell him, you were not born in China. You were born in America. You were not born to be a Chinese and cultured like a Chinese. You were born to be cultured as an American. You were not born to love Chinese food. You were born to like fried chicken and mashed taters and gravy and pinto beans and cornbread. You were not born to make firecrackers. You were born to shoot them on July the 4th. You were born to be an American. It may take a while for them to get through to him. And it may be so strange. But what if they could finally break through and say, we are your real parents. And China is not your country. These are all foreign people. They've taught you totally opposite of what we wanted to teach you. Imaginary scenario it was. But let me tell you something real. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. And the devil came and tempted them. And because of sin, they were taken out of the Garden of Eden. And he taught them how to cuss and steal and lie and the ways of sin and the depravity and got them so unlike their Creator God that when God came looking for them through his son, Jesus Christ, they didn't even recognize their Creator. That's the reason Jesus came into this world, is to reveal himself to you and me. To say, look, the devil is not your father. You were not created to burn your mind out on drugs and to waste your body on all this stuff. You were not born to contract AIDS and wind up with a life of grief and sorrow. You were not born to go through all the divorces and the problems and the sorrows and the heartaches and all this stuff that you are facing. I am your Creator. And when that Holy Ghost moves and the Spirit touches your life and the Word comes to you, it's God saying to you, look, I've come to get you out of that country. I'm your Creator. But you know what often happens? He seems so strange to us that we reject him. And we say, not now. And we walk away. I want to tell you something. The secret to your life is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, you will never know your purpose in life. you never will. God has great plans for every one of you, for time and for eternity. But so does the devil, and he wants to turn you aside. We hear a word, and I'm closing quickly. Opportunity. Opportunity means opposite port. Opportunity. So what it is, you're here, wherever you're at in life. If this wall represents your birthplace, some of us are in different places as we're going through life. It may be 5 years, 10, 15, 85, 90, or 100 for some of us, if Jesus tarries. But we're all headed toward the opposite port. And today, wherever we're at, we're looking at that port. But someday, every one of us here, we will have reached the ultimate end of our life on earth, and we'll be looking back at the other port. What do you want to look back on your life as having done? I stopped at a house to witness, and just never been there before. A man by the name of Mr. Grantham met me, and within 3 to 5 minutes, as I just talked to him about God, he told me he's 85, tears started running down his face, and he cried. And he said, "Preacher, I want to tell you." He said, "I've been a wicked old man and a crude but so applicable illustration he gave me." He said, "My life was once like a big long cigar. But," he said, "I'm 85 now and it's all smoked up till there's nothing but a little tiny stub." And he said, "I've wasted all of my life. All of it." Does it make any difference to you if you wind up in an early grave? If your marriage ends in divorce and hate? Your life becomes a wreck? Does it make any difference to you? You're going to have to make a choice to choose to know Jesus and let Him reveal to you your purpose. Does it make any difference? In Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, Alice is going down a road. She come to a T in the road. She stood there. She looked this way and this way and this way and this way and this way. She heard a voice said, "Little girl, what are you doing?" She looked up where the voice came from and is up in a tree. She said, "Who are you?" "Cat," said up there. I said, "I'm Cheshire." "So what's your name?" "My name is Alice." Cheshire said, "Well, what are you doing? You're looking here and you're looking there and this way and then." And Alice said, "I'm trying to decide which road to take." Cheshire said, "Where do you want to go?" And Alice said, "Ah, it don't matter where I go." Cheshire said, "If it doesn't matter where you want to go, then it doesn't matter which road you take. And if you don't care, and it doesn't matter, choose anything you want. It's immaterial. But if your life is important to you and you really want to make it count and find your purpose, then it does matter which road you take. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's Him. Someone's coming to the piano. Father, I want to thank You for the Spirit of God that's been here these past few nights. As Brother Stan said, Lord, the Spirit has been here this morning. You knew who was going to be here. You knew every person that's here. And Father, all of us are searching. We want to make our lives count. I think that's why these people are here today. And Father, I pray that you would begin to reveal that people don't know yourself to them and help them have a desire to know their life's purpose and commit to that life's purpose. If you don't know Jesus Christ or you are unsure about why you're on this earth, I want you to come around this altar. I want you to come just talk to Jesus just a little while. And he may not give you the revelation today. It may be piecemeal. He may reveal a little by little. But you've got to show him that you are interested in that. You've got to show him. And don't you want to know? You only have one chance at life. And that's all. My dad used to own a store, country store, general store. Things are very, very cheap way back there in the 50s. You could buy a bottle of soft drink for a nickel. You could buy lots of things for a penny, a lot of candies for a penny. And another general store, a little boy had been given a penny. Somebody gave him one. And in those days, they had these glass cases, some of you remember, where the candies was inside. They were in jars, you know. And mommy said, son, said, you've got a penny, so you can buy whatever you want. Mommy's going to gather some things up here that we need. So after several minutes, mom had it all, and she'd paid for it. And she said, come on, son, said, come on, hurry up. Have you chosen anything? Said, not yet. And he kept running his finger and his hands up and down that glass looking. She said, come on, hurry up, son, come on. And he looked up at his mommy and he said, mommy, I've only got one penny and I want to spend it wisely. You've only got one life. Just one. And I'm asking you in God's name, please, spend it wisely. I'd like to see some young people around these altars this morning. Come on, young people, just concertly, just together. Come on and just talk to God. Go ahead and sing. Just come on. Just come on and let's just have a good time of prayer. Just talk to the Lord and let Jesus begin to just speak into your life. Whether you know Jesus, whether you're saved or unsaved, just come. I'd like to see all the young people, that good group of teens up here, just come on down here and just talk to Jesus here for a few minutes. And then children and young people, God, why don't you come too? Come on, youth. I've talked directly to you this morning. That's it. Come on, guys. Come on, gals. Come on. We're going to try to find our purpose. We may not have it just revealed just this morning, but we're going to let Jesus know that we thank him for the life he's given us, and we are serious about finding that life in him, finding his purpose. Come on, children. Come on, youth. Come on, boys and girls. Come on, teenagers. Come on, young people. Every one of you. Just a good time with this good group of youth right up here. What an awesome opportunity. Church, you know what to do. Pick out some of these. Just begin to pray with them. These are your children. Maybe your neighbor's children. These are your grandchildren. But these are the ones God has given you the responsibilities for. Young people, thank you for listening. Thank you for your seriousness. Thank you for responding. Lord, thank you, boys and girls, for praying. Let Jesus talk to your heart right now. Let Jesus speak to you. Find your life's purpose. And when you discover it, don't let Satan turn you aside.
Please.
Hallelujah.
I can't believe the God of earth and glory, he would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my forgiveness when he was dying on the tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find their way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory, he would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my forgiveness when he was dying on the tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory, he would take the time to care for one like me. But I read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my forgiveness when he was dying on the tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. Help
others find a way, I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside, and it overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. It's a light that I might see. But the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me on. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship, it would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Now everybody that lives around, they all say, tear that old lighthouse down. For the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's just no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night, when just in time I saw that light was the light from that old lighthouse. It still stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the light. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks,
just take a few minutes of worship this morning,
He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
God, we're each and every one called according to His purpose. He has a purpose in our lives. But we, being free moral agents, we choose. He's there with open arms. But we have to choose. Glory to God. I appreciate each and every one this morning. I appreciate the word that Brother Hampton gave to us this morning. Glory to God. I want to pass to our classes, bring the tithes and offerings into the church.